All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. Izzy Gutierrez coming to us live from the library. Mike Golick Jr. coming to us live from a house. I really hadn't planned what I was actually going to say here and got caught in the air. I'm in a house, too.
You guys actually look like you're in the same place. I'm not going to lie. It looks like right up the stairs, boom, is above
I can see it.
Mike's head. Yeah.
Do you expect the Celtics to fold like a cheap suit against the Wizards tonight?
Wow, we are coming in hot to start this. The Celtics are, like, other than the Lakers, the most unexpected team to wind up in this play-in tournament. They have been reeling of late, and Jaylen Brown is having wrist surgery, so he is out for the year. And this does have all the makings of a 1-2-3 Cancun Classic, because I don't know how much the Celtics care at this point. I wouldn't blame them if they were at the end of their rope. It's been a rough season for them. The one thing I do know is that team on the other side is going to play hard, right? They are going to show up. The Wizards might not be that good, but can you imagine facing Russell Westbrook after a one game, your season could end game, and he's looking at you like, you didn't really go that hard? The Wizards, we do not have those questions. So, yeah, no, this could wind up being an ugly one for the Celtics, and if it is, it's going to raise those questions about what kind of house cleaning maybe, just maybe, they need to do, because they do need to do some measure of house cleaning because they don't have enough. I don't know how exactly they get to that next step, but something's going to have to change, especially if they get embarrassed tonight.
All right, I just want to start here. I don't understand the saying folds like a cheap suit, because my suits are made out of pretty nice material. They fold rather easily. They're not cheap, okay? So I don't get that. But to answer the question, no, I don't think the Celtics will fold like a cheap seat. And here's the other thing I want to start off, because I know I don't understand the cheap suit thing, and a lot of people don't understand the play-in. Just to be 100% sure, whoever loses this game does not get eliminated. They get to play one more time against the winner of 9-10. But you kind of feel like if you lose this game and you're the Celtics, you are kind of dealing with the inevitable here, or just suspending the inevitable, because they just haven't been good. They've never been able to really figure it out this year, whether they've been healthy or not. That, however, to me, is the key here. They have not been healthy all season long. They've had to deal with more COVID protocol games missed than anybody in the league by a big number. And here they are with one game, and you've got Russell Westbrook and a slightly hampered Bradley Beal and that team that's been surging sort of facing you. Now, this is the reason I don't think they will fold like a cheap suit or whatever that means, is because the Wizards do not defend, okay? And say what you will about how the Celtics score. Maybe Jason Tatum doesn't make his teammates better, but he can also give you 60. And so I do think that the Wizards are going to allow the Celtics to stay in this. Now, whether those injuries from the Celtics, which are kind of real, since Marcus Smart's calf is a problem, Robert Williams' turf toe is a problem, if they can play through all that and support Jason Tatum here, they absolutely have a chance at winning this game. I can't rule them out. They almost beat the Knicks in Madison Square Garden without playing anybody.
Yeah, all of those ifs just seem like a lot to overcome for the biggest reason that you mentioned in here. The amount of games, like by a wide margin, they have lapped the field missing due to COVID protocol. We've seen this happen in almost every league that's come back and tried to play through all this, that at some point the sheer exhaustion of everything they've been through just starts to set in. To me, this has all the feel of a group of five team getting ready to play an off-year SEC squad in one of these bowl games right now, where we get to trot out the tried and true. Well, it doesn't look like one of these teams really wants to be here. And I think that is going to be this Boston Celtics outfit that really, through no fault of their own, the circumstances of this year. Yeah, like Bo said, we can talk about the front office. We can talk about decisions that have been made personnel-wise at the macro level for a while. But in the crucible of this season, some of these things are just too much to overcome. And I can actually understand one of these teams really saying, man, you know what? After all this, why are we going to go hard here and now in this spot?
You know what, though? Let's talk about all that front office stuff that we could talk about forever. Bottom line is this. They tried to play for the present and for the future at the same time for a stretch of years, right? That's what they did when they had Brown and they had Tatum, and they didn't want to part with them. They didn't want to make a move that could bring a superstar caliber player in. I understand what they were trying to do, but they were ultimately trying to do too much. And now you look at the top of the Eastern Conference, and if Jason Tatum is their best player, Milwaukee's best player is better than him. The Nets' best player is better than him. The Sixers' best player is better than him. They don't have enough high-end star power. They've been playing with a different collection of low spades for years, and that's Danny Ainge's fault.
Is what Shohei Ohtani is doing sustainable?
Look, man, Shohei Ohtani after last night's game is now up to 13 home runs. He has an ERA of 2.10, right? Like, it's either he's Babe Ruth or he's just like the best kid on the Little League team, right? But except he's doing it in the major leagues where I'm just better at everything than everybody else. Now, he's also had a knee surgery and an elbow surgery. Is this sustainable? I hope so. Like, that's the best that I can say. I've never seen anything like this. It's such an outlier performance. I would have to assume that there's going to be some level of regression. That being said, you know, your pitching muscles and your hitting muscles ain't exactly the same muscles. I can see how you manage to be able to keep both of these things up if you're really that good. But speaking of keeping things up, how did the Angels manage to continue to be sorry in spite of the fact that they got this dude, they got Mike Trout in his prime, they got your boy Rendon? Like, why are you like this? I just don't get this. Like, you just had Albert Pujols, and he just got out of there. He turned whack the second he showed up to town. And for you youngsters, understand, Anaheim has been doing this to free agents and others for 50 years. For 50 years, people have been showing up there and then not being good. Now they got guys that are actually good, and they're still not good.
And if you saw Pujols' first appearance in a Dodgers uniform, you can clearly see once you get out of there, some sort of veil lifts and you're allowed to be okay again at the things you were once great with. Will this last? No, probably not. But, man, it's going to be a hell of a moment while we enjoyed this ride. Like, eventually you'd imagine because of this, and I'm with you, Bo, they're different things, but if you listen to all these biomechanics people, which, good Lord, baseball's got a lot of them around their sport, you can see that after a while, this is going to add up. It's a reason why them using him as a DH has been such a smart and calculated move and bringing him along in all this. But I am going to enjoy watching this physically impressive overall athlete wallop the hell out of these home runs that no one has any business hitting. Like, when you look at where he is making contact with these balls, they've got no earthly business being swung at, let alone knocked this far out of the park. And so I'm going to sit here and bask in the glory of this while they are still, at this point, the Angels tied for the second worst run differential in the sport.
Yeah, so it's whether or not this is sustainable is one of those questions you can't really answer because we haven't seen something like this in so long. And even if it's not sustainable, even if it's something that he can do for 4 or 5 years and then just has to pick one or the other, fine, I will take that, because you've now had multiple guys, I think the latest was Matt Barnes, a reliever, saying that Ohtani is the most skilled baseball player they have ever seen. And so if you watch the one that he hits up by his eyes out of the park, you just start to recognize what everybody else is sort of drooling over and saying, wow, this is amazing, it's real, and we all want to see it, of course. Now, if you talk about sort of everything being perfect, yeah, it's probably sustainable, right? We've got more, as Gojo said, we've got more sports medicine guys than ever in this sport in particular. But you're also talking about, hey, you can't factor in for the collision that might happen in the outfield or even in the infield as a pitcher, maybe thrown out of basement or something like that. So all those factors you can't really say. But in terms of what he's been doing and, you know, having gotten over the surgeries that he's already gotten over and still showing out like this, I don't see why he couldn't be, why it couldn't be sustainable and why he couldn't be the star. But you guys have got me really thinking about this, where guys leaving the Angels and all of a sudden getting better. So is that now the strategy for Mike Trout? Because he might be the best player we've ever seen. Ohtani might be, I don't know, the second best player we've ever seen. You get them out of there and they might even be better. I don't know if this franchise is cursed, but if that actually happens, if we ever see a day where somebody goes out of there like Mike Trout and is actually better than he was as an Angel, then I think we can probably prove that there's a cursed franchise.
Maybe what the Angels need to do is start acquiring as many players as possible who hit pitches at their eyes, because they did sign Vladimir Guerrero once and that worked out. He won an MVP there. He'd swing at anything and hit everything. That's just what they need to do. They need to go find those cats. That's the only way it can work. You have to literally be able to hit any damn thing anybody throws.
Up next on HQ.
But I would love to literally just have a pet lion.
Yes.
Just a legit pet lion on a chain, a big chain. And he really is my pet. We just walk around the building. We go out to practice. We're in 7-on-7. We're behind the kicker when he's kicking. On command, you could train him. Like, if one of your groups isn't doing well, you could just take him over to their section and just have him take a dump right there in the middle of where their section is at.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Do you question if this was against the unwritten rules of baseball?
All right, so we have got a matchup of nicknames here. At the plate, we have Yermin Mercedes. They call him the Yerminator. And on the mound, because the game was 15-4, our good friend, La Tortuga.
We don't need a pitch clock for Astudillo. Oh, he loaded up.
47 miles an hour.
And he's given up a
home on a 3-0 count. He swung away on a 3-0 count. And La Tortuga seems to take that personally. I see why we're talking about unwritten rules. He is salty.
Well, even the announcers don't like it. And it's just like, what are you talking about, man? Like, if I'm the terribly, terribly nicknamed Yerminator, like, I would be insulted halfway while that pitch was, like, to the plate because you're sending me something that I could have hit out of the park as an 8-year-old. Like, I don't care if it's 3-0. I don't care that your nickname is the turtle and everything is supposed to be slow. I'm going to take that pitch and launch it. I'm not supposed to sit here with my arms crossed waiting for you guys to say, okay, now we can start playing again. That's absolutely ridiculous. Can't be mad at that.
You are passionate about this.
I appreciate that. I was just sitting there rooting for one of them to charge the mound. Like, you got two beefy lads right here. Let's see some... Let's see some haymakers get thrown from this crowd. We might actually connect and have something fun here because right now we're watching already my favorite thing in baseball, which is position players having to get on the mound here. But now we've added some venom to the equation. I'm with Izzy. Let's get it.
Look, can we get a look at that pitch again? Because I actually think that we need to give the Yerminator some credit. Timing a 47-mile-an-hour pitch when you're a major leaguer. I mean, that ain't the easiest thing in the world. I mean, he hit that a mile, too.
And I'll say that too, Bo. Like a lot of guys are throwing these E for P. I don't know about a lot, but more than before, right? Like Zane Greinke tosses that out there every once in a while. Why not get some practice hitting against that thing, right? Because most of the time, the pitchers who throw it get all the credit. Ooh, look, he threw a slow pitch. Well, look, I can hit a slow pitch too.
I like what Dominique said about it. We had La Tortuga on before. He's like, yeah, I'm swinging away. He's like, if I hit 50 home runs, they're not going to say it's 49 home runs plus a Tortuga.
Do you question if this would make the Lions a better football team?
All right, so Dan Campbell went on the podcast, pardon my take, and I can only imagine where this is going.
I've talked to Sheila about this. I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but I would love to literally just have a pet lion.
Yes.
Just a legit pet lion on a chain, a big chain, and he really is my pet. We just walk around the building. We go out to practice. We're in 7-on-7. We're behind the kicker when he's kicking. On command, you could train him. Like, if one of your groups isn't doing well, you could just take him over to their section and just have him take a dump right there in the middle of where their section is at, and then bring him on back. Yes. I mean, think about it. It'd be outstanding. It would be fed well. It would be petted. It would be manicured. I might end up losing an arm because of it, but that would be even better. You know, because it would validate what this is. This is a creature now. This is an animal. This is from the wild.
Go ahead, Izzy. I feel like you got this all the way under control.
Well, I had it under control, but then he lost me with the taking a deuce in the middle of the field, which any sort of species can do. It does not have to be the super dangerous lion. But initially, I was kind of with him, right? Like, how can you stop Tyreek Hill, who's nicknamed Cheetah? Bring an actual cheetah into your practice. You know, maybe that's the only way you can do it. But then he went with the defecating on the field. And then I just feel like the intent was entirely lost because I'm not scared of a lion because of the smell he emits. Like, I'm scared because he's going to chew my face off. But I don't know. This guy always loses.
That's what I was about to say. You must really love lions because Dan Campbell almost talked you into something, and I didn't think that was possible.
The brand is already so strong in Detroit. I said when this hire first got made, this just smelled like more full padded practices than any other team in the league. And he has done nothing to deter that idea with this entire statement. Losing an arm here. Listen, after what Mike Vrabel went with the other time we dealt with a coach willing to lose a certain appendage in the name of going out here and winning, an arm feels like relatively low stakes compared to that. So Dan Campbell's going to have to do a little bit more in the tough guy department.
Yeah, here's one thing about it. Like, all the jokes we got about Dan Campbell, he ain't going that far, right? Like all of a sudden we going to find out, like you hear what Mike Vrabel said, he'd give up to win a Super Bowl, and that's what Dan Campbell's like. Yo, that's ridiculous.
Do you question if this performer responded well to this?
The performer is in parts unknown.
I love that play.
Oh no. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Woo!
Yesterday we had some wrestling on and somebody lit their crotch on fire. Didn't know we were getting it 2 days in a row. This the real hot link right here.
He has got some flammable pants for a dude who works as fire. I mean, those things caught fire pretty quickly there. Clearly a job I'm not in on.
You just use a razor or go get a wax like everybody else, but get it how you live, I guess.
Now run this back, because I think the best part about this is he doesn't abandon the pants nearly fast enough, right?
Nope.
Right? Because, like, once they've caught on fire, why aren't they, like, just immediate, like, all right, this... And why are you doing that? Okay. But like at this point, right? Okay. He's doing the pants. No, just ditch the pants. Just ditch the pants.
And why does he need a second effort? Like the first one was great, amazing. The crowd jumped on the ground. Do it again? Why? You're already successful. Don't kill yourself.
Because you don't practice lighting your crotch on fire almost that many times to not get the oohs and ahs when you finally got the crowd. Like, he's patting that out because that's happened behind closed doors before, and he's been able to manage the situation. He has found himself now in a spot that he could not practice nearly enough for there. Those are the outtakes I want to see. What does practice for this event look like?
Right, what's the B team look like? Like, is he just one guy who does this, or are they a service where you can get, like, you want somebody to light their crotch on fire at your birthday party? We got five dudes.
I don't think even the crowd would be upset if there was a little fire extinguisher on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
For situations like this.
Like, whatever was ruined once your crotch caught on fire.
Tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, Hornets and Pacers.
All right, I don't think anybody thought the Pacers were going to win this anyway, but on top of that, Caris LeVert is going to be out, health and safety protocols. So this game will be interesting if for no other reason than for a lot of people, it will be their introduction to LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball would have been the rookie of the year, and this is why he would have been the rookie of the year if he had not got hurt, because he does stuff like this. Oof. The moral of the story with LaMelo Ball is maybe we shouldn't rush to judgment about 14-year-olds. Just a thought. Just a thought. It's almost like he grew up or something. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Oh, I'm very much intrigued. The Hornets have probably been my favorite team to watch outside of Steph Curry when he's on fire. And notice I didn't say the Warriors. I just said Steph Curry. And I do think they're probably going to win this game. But I will say this about the Pacers, even though they're not really healthy. Caris LeVert out, Malcolm Brogdon questionable here. TJ McConnell might have had one of the most disruptive defensive games I've ever seen this year. And if that guy, because I know the Hornets can do a lot of things with their youth and sort of blow open the game with some three-point shooting, but TJ McConnell, believe it or not, can absolutely blow open a game with his defense. And if the Hornets aren't focused on him, he might be able to disrupt this game just enough to steal it from him.
I'm going to tell you right now, if LaMelo Ball lets TJ McConnell lock him up, LaMelo Ball would not be allowed back in his daddy's house. Golic, are you intrigued? Okay.
I am intrigued, and mostly for the reason you just mentioned, but I'm amazed we've seen him have this much success this early on and have not heard hardly a peep from his father at this point. I don't know what changed along the way here, but it changed quickly. Apparently the conversation was had and the message was received.
You know what changed? He got. He got his pockets ran. We ain't heard much from him since.
In Denver, Broncos OTAs.
All right, so ESPN and the magazine do this thing called the Get Naked issue, and they would get all kinds of athletes to get on their pages and get naked. Now, one thing I found was that one time they had Prince Fielder on the cover, and he got naked, and all our Husky homies were so excited and liberated because he got to set it out there for them like they wanted to be that guy. Broncos got it drafted a dude in the third round named Quinn Myers. He is an offensive lineman in a very similar vein. He going to let it fly. Get a look at this belly.
The altitude, you know, I definitely say, you know, a little bit, you know, that's why the, you know, the belly was breathing a little bit too much yesterday. But, you know, it's something I'll get used to. You know, it comes with time and comes with training. So it'll definitely be an advantage later on. Right now, it's just, you know, something I have to manage.
Like, I don't think he know that one machine that's over there where you sit down and you put your hands here. It works on your abs. Like, that's what it's for. Why you keep walking past it, man? Izzy, are you intrigued?
Let the belly breathe, Bomani. Like, you have no idea how hot those football jerseys are. And God, like, just to pull that up and just be able to breathe, that must be so freeing there. Also, I don't think it was called the Get Naked issue.
Golden?
Mm-hmm. You don't got to tell me twice. Listen, I'm convinced you guys handpicked this just for me right now as someone who has tried to follow the legacy of Poppy and show his belly on this show. This man's letting it breathe for everyone. Like, there's a picture of this man glorious, letting it all breathe out at practice. You hype the shorts up a little bit. We got a new statue of David. Like, this is peak male performance. That's just potential energy right there, Bo. That's what people sleep on, is there's plenty of goods underneath that, but he needs all that power and force to try and combat everything he's going to have to overcome with Drew Locke playing quarterback.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Vince Wilfork was like, yo, I'm not fat, I just have a belly, right? But he was just giant everywhere else. Look at that dude's arms we talk about here. Like, he looks like he's in, like he out here handling it just except for that. It's like he just skips over that whole part of the weight room.
There is one drink that makes that possible, Lonnie, and that is plenty of what he had at Wisconsin Whitewater.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. That is our show. Izzy Gutierrez will be here tomorrow on Highly Questionable. Mike Golic Jr. will be on the radio every weekday, 4 to 7 Eastern, Chanae and Golic.
You can also listen to Bomani on the Right Time of Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcasts, and I learned which way to point this time.
There we go. And I'm trolling Sixers fans, baby.